Well, I am blessed this morning to be able to introduce to you our guest speaker who has come to us from Arad, Romania. Arad is a community, a very large community, on the western side of Romania. And Pastor Romica Iuga is here to be able to share with us. You'll see a little biographical sketch in your bulletin this morning. Romy serves as the co-pastor along with his brother at the Speranța Baptist Church in Arad, Romania. A relatively small percentage of folks in Romania are Protestant, and a large number of them are a part of Romy's church. And over the last several years, Romy and I met in 1994 and began to work together. And in the process of working together, Sue and I and Romy and his family have been able to develop a really wonderful long-term relationship that has been focused on mission and especially to outreach to abandoned children who ended up in the Romanian orphanage system. So Romy is here to be able to share with us this morning, and I would invite you to give a warm Parker welcome to Reverend Romica Iuga.
Thank you for your... Thank you very much. You already heard my name, but when I was young and handsome, I used to introduce myself as Romeo looking for a Juliet. That's how I introduced myself to Randy. There is no need to do that anymore because I found my Juliet 20 years ago, and together with Dorothy, we have two children, David and Octavia. David is 17, and Octavia, she is 16. So, having two teenagers in my home, I need all of your prayers. So I'm going to count on that in the future. Especially when I look back into my life, and I see that that age was very important for me. Even though I was growing in a communist country, in a time when they kept telling us there is no God, we shouldn't go to the church because the churches are going to be closed pretty soon. You know, during that period of time, under the communism in Romania, at the age of 17, I decided to give my life to Jesus Christ. And that was the best decision that I ever made. And since that time, I continue to walk with Jesus, and it has been an extraordinary experience. And because of this, and because of what I find in the Bible, this morning I would like to share with you a little bit from the Scripture, trying to learn together what means to walk with Jesus, and especially what does it mean to walk in faith. I don't know exactly how people think here in America, but in Romania there are some Christians that when you talk with them about faith, for them faith is important to have their sins forgiven, to get their ticket to heaven, and after you believe in Jesus Christ and you get saved, then all you have to do is live easy and comfortable life. I don't see it exactly that way, because when I look into the Scripture, I see many examples of people who believed in God, who loved Jesus, and for them, living by faith meant to have an experience with God every day of their life. So that's why I'm trying to communicate to you this morning. And you might want to open your Bible in Hebrew chapter 11. And this chapter is known as the chapter of faith. And in the first part of this chapter, we learn some things about what faith is. And it's wonderful to see like a definition of faith in verse 1 of chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And then is the evidence of things that we do not see. And by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So faith is absolutely essential for our lives. And verse 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we were created to live for His glory, to please God, and without faith, it's impossible to do that. But we don't need faith just, you know, for one moment, one experience in our life. We need it every day. And in Hebrews 11, we have a list of saints that lived by faith. And we can learn so many things from these people that are listed here. Well, sometimes Randy mentions that in Romania, our preaching time is about 45, 50 minutes. If I were to refer to all of them, we would need about 3 or 4 hours. But don't worry, you know, we'll be short this morning. I want to look at some of these people that are mentioned here in Hebrews 11, and what we can learn from them about faith. And one of the well-known characters is Abraham. Hebrews 11, verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. So people refer to Abraham as the father of all believers. And that's why, and it's right, because he was one man that understood what faith means. And one of the first things that he learned in this faith experience was that faith dreams. I look at Abraham and his call. One day God shows up into his life and he calls him to go to an unknown country. And of course, you are tempted to ask why. And God explains to him, if we read his whole story in the Old Testament, that he wants to make him the father of many nations. So he starts to dream. It's a God-given dream. Actually, God appeals to his imagination when he invites him for a walk and he says, Abraham, look to the sky and try to count the stars. It is impossible. Or walking on the beach, you know, look at the sand. This is what I'm going to do with you. So he's appealing to Abraham's imagination and says, I have a dream for your life. And Abraham receives this God-given dream and he starts to walk by faith with God. I believe God has a dream for each one of us. And I'm not talking about those moments when we dream sleeping, you know. I don't know if this ever happens in America, so that people will fall asleep during a service. It never happens in my church. Never, ever, because, I see some people with their eyes closed, but they are praying for the pastor. And when they open their eyes, you know, they just show me that they agree with everything I said. You know, there are moments when God is communicating with us while we sleep, and we see that in the Bible too, but this is not the case of Abraham, you know. God wants him to dream with his eyes open, to be the father of many nations and a great nation. So, as I said, I believe God wants each one of us to dream, have a God-given dream for our lives. When I met Randy, he wanted me to take him to the state orphanages, and we talked about how we could help the abandoned children that ended up in these state orphanages in Romania under the communism. It was soon after the fall of communism, 1989, the communism collapsed, and a new society was there but we still had so many abandoned children. And we went one time, two times, three times, and helped the children that were in the state orphanages. And different people who were interested to visit Romania will come, and they wanted to go there. It took us like a short time, maybe within a year, to realize that every time we try to help, the needs are the same, and the lives of these children is not changing a lot. So God gave us a dream, and we started to dream together about creating a home, and after that, many homes for these abandoned children, to find families that will love them, that will care for them, that will give them a good education, and take them to the church and teach them about Jesus. During that time, in 95, 96, this was a dream that God has given us. So, this morning, when we look back and we want to honor the saints, those who lived and walked with Christ ahead of us, I think it's an appropriate moment to ask ourselves, what's our dream? Do we have a God-given dream? We were not meant just to be born and live here for several years and then move from earth to heaven and just exist here and pass through life. God created us and put us in a certain place because He has a dream for our life. And we need to discover that God-given dream and participate with God in making a difference in this world. But then I looked again to some other examples of people that are listed here in this chapter of faith in Hebrews 11. It was interesting for me to discover that a big name is just mentioned. We have several verses for Abraham, but David's name is just mentioned, is just here on this list. But I think we would all agree that David was a man of faith. He wasn't perfect, but he believed in God and he was available for God's ministry. One of the most well-known stories about David is the story, you know, the fight between David and Goliath. And it's we can find it in the Old Testament, the book of 1 Samuel, and it's just wonderful to read through it, and there are so many details that we can find there. But I want to point just one of those. When David went on the battlefield to visit his brothers, and Goliath was challenging the people of Israel, David started to dream about what would it be, you know, to kill this giant man and win for the glory of God. And before he started that, the king of Israel, Saul, challenged his army. He said, if anybody wants to go and fight with this man, I'll give him three things. First of all, I'll give him riches, gold and silver. And everybody wanted that. They thought it's wonderful. And then, if that person will fight Goliath and win, my daughter will be his wife. And the third thing, he will be exempted, not just him, but all his family, exempted by taxes for the rest of their life. Looking at all three of these, you know, I think the third one is the most wonderful. I don't know how it's here in America, but taxes are killing us in Romania. So if somebody will promise that if you do this, you know, you won't have to pay taxes for the rest of your life, you start to dream. And many people from this army started to dream. What would be, you know, our life if we do this? But out of all these people, there was only one who dared to make another step. And that was David. And I learned from him that in our Christian life, dreaming is very important, is the first step. But daring is the next step. You dream, but faith dares. And you start to do something with God. I mentioned that God has given us, you know, this wonderful dream about how would be the life of these children, you know, if we would have a wonderful home for them. But in 1998, we dared to make another step. And we started to talk with people, and we bought the first house, and we talked with the authorities. And I remember like it was yesterday, when I went to the state orphanage, and they gave me the first four kids, about 3-4 years, each one of them, all of them started to cry at once. I was inexperienced. I didn't have children of my own during that time, and it was scary. And besides this, many people started to ask, you know, what would happen if you would not have money, if you would not have people that will buy into this, you know, if you will not have house parents, if you will not have this and that. But you see, when you understand that dreaming is not enough, something is pushing you to make the next step. There are so many people that have wonderful dreams. Wonderful dreams. In my 20 years of pastoral work, I met people that had great dreams for the church, for their families, but some of them, you know, never dared to make another step. And you know why? We see that in this experience in the Old Testament with David and Goliath. One verse says that everybody was afraid of Goliath. Fear is our greatest enemy to transform our dreams into reality. We are afraid of failing. We are afraid that we will not be able to make it. And many times we give up wonderful dreams just because we are afraid. So looking back, looking into the Bible, to these saints, you know, to these wonderful people of faith, we learn that we have to dream and we have to dare to make next step. Sometimes it's not easy. That's why I say that besides dreaming and daring, even though they are, you know, similar ideas, faith needs to take a risk sometimes. I mean, we have so many people in the Bible. Even for David, this was true. Going to fight Goliath, wouldn't you say that he was risking his life? But think about somebody else in the Old Testament. A young lady that had a very tough life, but somehow she made it to the top. Her name was Esther. And she became the queen in a foreign country. But in the same time, when she was enjoying, you know, everything she had as the queen, her people, her nation, was in danger. And somebody sent this message to her, Esther, you need to go to the king and talk with him. And she said, I cannot do that because there is a law. If I go there uninvited, most of the chances are that he will kill me. But then she is thinking. And she thinks, maybe for a time like this, I'm supposed to be here. So Esther decides to go to the king and talk about her people in spite of that law. And the story has a wonderful, you know, it's like a fairy tale, a wonderful ending, because she is not killed, because the king is merciful to her, and she is saving her nation. Well, not all the stories in the New Testament have a happy end. Think about John the Baptist, who dared to tell his king that his life is not as God wants to be. And because of that, you know, it was a different experience of losing his head. But he lost his head because the king killed him. And Stephen was the one who paid with his life for a sermon, because he dared, you know, to tell them what to do. Sometimes, if you want to walk in faith, that means that you need to take a risk. And because we honor the saints and we learn from them, I want to close with a story that I'm sharing with you, honoring my dad, my father, who was a first-generation Christian. He lived most of his life under the communism. In spite of the communist philosophy, he has chosen to become a Christian, to be a believer. But he has chosen more than that, to get involved and do something to expand the kingdom of God. So one of the ministries that he had was to get involved in a network that was distributing Christian literature under the communism, New Testament, Bible, Bibles, and other Christian literature. Many people were brave enough to smuggle Christian literature into the country, and then other people, like my father, will take it from one place and just give it to people. He did that many times, but one time when he was coming home with a suitcase full of Christian literature, he saw through the window that two people, and he knew they were from the secret police, just stepped into our yard. So he knew they were coming for that Christian literature. He looked around. We had a wood stove and a big box, you know, next to the stove. So he put the literature there. They stepped into the house and they said, "We came to search the house because we know somebody told us that you brought Christian literature." He was nothing to do for him. So in his heart, he started to pray to God. And those people started to search the house. One of them said, "Why are you staring at us, you know? Just sit down on that box and don't move from there." So the whole time he sat there, he prayed, they searched, they didn't find anything. It was like God blinded them. You know, when you take a chance for God's glory, you're going to see God's miracles. You're going to see His power. You're going to see that He's doing things that we cannot do in our own power. So that's why faith is so important. In my own country, now it's freedom. Communism is not there anymore. And many Christians are tempted, like I would guess here in America, you know, to believe in Jesus and then have an easy, comfortable life. Sunday morning, we like to come to church. After church, we enjoy a big lunch. For many Christians there, it's like they find it written in the Bible. After lunch, 2-hour nap, you know. So, an easy life. But we are not meant for this. We are meant to dream, to dare, and take chances to make a difference in this world. So may God bless you and help you to walk with Him. And maybe He will tell you sometimes, you know, just to fire up your faith. Make a short trip, mission trip to Romania, and see what God is doing there. God bless you.